you may have seen, is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Find out more at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
Actors, right? The road to fame and celebrity. All right, I get it. You've had an incredible life.
Aren't you sick of hearing about them?
Me too.
The only problem is, I'm one of them. Except I'm not famous.
Oh, you've probably seen me. A bunch of times.
I'm the guy with the information about the hero's dad. I'm the doctor that can't figure out what's wrong with one of the main characters. I'm the guy they just punched in the face during the interrogation.
My name's Brian LaFontaine, and I'm a professional actor.
Oh, and it's not just me. There's a ton of us.
We're the ones you don't hear about.
Yeah, we're the names that scroll by at lightning speed during the end credits, but there's way more of us than there are of them. We're important too, dammit, because without us, they can't tell the rest of the story. So this is for all the movie and TV prostitutes, homeless people, drug dealers, cab drivers, cops numbers 2, 3, and sometimes 4, the pilots, the waitresses, and girl at party.
This is You May Have Seen.
Today I'm talking to Keisha Trevelyan. Is she an actress?
Nope, not talking to any actress today, I'm not doing it.
Why am I talking to Keisha? Because she's put together a slightly different perspective and view of show business over her 30-year career that you might find to be interesting and helpful. Plus, she's just charming as hell and a whole lot of fun to talk to. Alright, here's Keisha.
Now, where are you shopping and going these days to buy your clothes? Because didn't you get a write-up a few years ago of like, oh
God,
Keisha,
was
she... That was what? Silly?
Silly. This is Stitch Fix.
I've heard of that.
Marshalls.
There you go.
Pants Marshalls.
Are you the bargain shopper? Is that what the big deal is with you? Is that, you know, you dress very stylish, but you don't spend a lot of money?
I am not really that stylish. I'm really
not. You're pretty stylish.
And even at my age, I'm still trying to figure out what feels better. And I got to say, going to the beach, living at the beach is very different than living in a city.
Okay.
And we dress differently.
Say more about that.
So living at the beach means...
Beach living as opposed to city living.
Beach living is sports bras and shorts
okay.
and tanks.
Sure.
And sometimes you wear the same thing 3 days in a row.
Okay.
And then when you come to... And so actually, literally,
yeah.
when I'm at the beach and I have to go to the grocery store, which is the Food Lion... I say, oh my God, I gotta spiff it up. And I put on a fun frilly shirt.
Okay.
With my ugly shorts and my flip-flops. And I always wear lipstick, no makeup. But I have to wear lipstick because
okay.
my mom said, don't ever leave the house without lipstick
on. Oh, that's one of those life lessons from Jano
yeah.
that has stuck with you.
She's the one. And I have a boyfriend in a lot of different places. And at the beach, my fishmonger is my boyfriend. So Rob always knows when I'm going to go get fish. I put my red lipstick on. I fluff my hair up so I can go see John.
Does he give you a discount
yeah.
on the fish?
Yeah, he does. He actually gives me extra.
That is the best.
But I'll talk to you.
Oh, Jesus. And now it's broken. Why would
What did
you
that sound like?
Oh, it just was a little poop. Yeah, it didn't sound like much.
Yeah.
Yes. So, Keisha Trevelyan, where may we have seen you? There's a trick question for you. Where may we have seen you?
Oh, my God.
Talking to me across the room like a savage.
Okay.
Jeez.
Okay, turn
it down.
All right.
So, I'm going to ask you again, and this time I expect a damn answer. Where may we have seen you?
Walking in the hood.
Walking in the hood.
Sometimes prior to this year, I walked in the Belvedere hood.
Yes.
Have I been on TV? Cannot say I have.
Yeah. So then let me switch the question around a little bit for this interview. Where may we have seen your people?
Oh, my people are everywhere. And they are... I'm so proud of my people.
Well, talk to me about your people.
My people are on TV.
Mm-hmm.
My people are on movies, mm-hmm. in movies.
Mm-hmm.
My people are in print ads.
Mm-hmm.
My people's voices.
Yes.
Dun-dun-dun-dun. Can be heard nationwide.
Yeah.
Regionally, for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Yep.
My people can be seen in commercials.
Yes.
If you are a banker and you are training for the job, likely you have seen my people. Wells Fargo.
Sure.
Bank of America. If you are selling pharmaceuticals.
Wow.
Chances are you've seen my people.
The list goes on and on, and on.
You've seen the butchers.
So in case you haven't caught on yet, I am talking to Keisha Trevelyan. Keisha O'Neill Trevelyan by official title name.
And actually, my official title name?
Yes.
Is Keisha Michelle.
Oh my goodness, I know that. Well, I just didn't know what...
I got in trouble though when I was a kid. So whenever I heard Keisha Michelle, I knew I was in trouble.
And now...
So now I'm always in trouble.
But you're always in trouble. So to help everybody else, tell people who you are.
Who am I?
From a showbiz standpoint.
Here is who I am.
Why the hell am I talking to you?
I am an agent extraordinaire.
Yes, you are.
This year is my 31 years of doing what I've been doing.
Holy crap.
When I thought about that today, I couldn't believe it because I'm still 27 and a half.
Right.
And so I can't imagine that much time going by. But I do what I do because of my mom. And this past Mother's Day, I actually got down on my knees. And I put my hands on her knees.
Oh my gosh.
And I said, Mom, thank you so much. Because of her, I have met my husband. I have met some amazing actors. I have met celebrities and stars. I have walked this crazy journey with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them for a long, long time. For as long as I've been doing the business. Yeah. So... You know, it's a business, but being in the South, it's a friendship too. It's a journey.
Right.
And just coming out of LA, I've learned a lot more about this business and the difference between the Southeast and LA, but that's probably going on to other stuff and we can talk about that.
Yeah, you're jumping ahead of my questions and things.
I'm jumping ahead.
Right.
I'm sorry.
No, that's
I'm so
okay.
Eager.
So you're excited. So what is your official title?
My official title is gosh.
Are you agency director?
I'm an agency director.
For JTA Talent.
For JTA Talent. I'm also vice president.
Ah, vice president. Okay.
Vice president to the president.
Now, answer me this. Riddle me this. Does the agency still go by at all the Jan Thompson Agency?
Or is it
strictly
just...
No.
People,
Just the letters.
Just the letters.
Okay.
And on good days, it's just those talented actors.
Mm-hmm.
And on really shitty days, just those assholes. But you know what? We don't really have too many shitty days. Every day is a good day.
That's great. Do you have the best job or do you have the worst job?
I have had the best job and I have had the worst job. It depends on when we talked. When I was younger in the business, I was kind of the, you know, peon at the very bottom. And I was the boss's daughter.
Yeah.
And often I found myself going, what am I doing? You know, how can I help? What do I do? And yeah, so, but the business has changed so much and now it's electronic and whenever someone books, it's a great day.
Yeah.
It's a great moment. Yeah. And we have a lot of people booking.
That's amazing. That's fantastic.
It is amazing. Super grateful for
We'll talk more specifically about that.
Yeah.
So how did this even come to be? That I mean, I get it.
You want to know?
It was the family business and you never did because you're an attractive lady.
Well,
you're a good looking lady. You weren't in modeling or print work. You didn't do any commercials. How the hell did?
Yeah.
Because who wakes up and says, "Oh, I'm going to be an agent"?
Well, let me tell you a story. So
you had dreams and aspirations.
My mom. How this all came to be is that my mom and my dad, they're original Charlatans, and they moved back to Charlotte. And my dad was always in theater, and he was also a singer. And at that time, Jan Thompson represented him.
Mm-hmm.
And one day when she was calling my dad to do a Belk flyer, my mom answered the phone, and she said, "Well, hey, do you have a job for me?" And Jan T. said, "Well, yes, I do. What do you do?" And Mom said she can do accounting. So from that point on, Mom became affiliated with Jan Thompson.
Right.
And then Jan Thompson decided to sell the business to my mother back in the early 80s to leave the business completely.
Right.
And growing up in the business, because of my mom, she, you know, we did little modeling things. Mm-hmm. We did little print things. And I did a movie. It was in 3D. It was called Hit the Road Running.
Ah, yes. Was that an Earl Owensby?
It sure was.
There you go. His name has come up a few times in other interviews.
Yes, he has. Yeah. And I finally saw the movie and I was, my pants were too short. They gave me high waters and I knew it at the time. And they said, no, we'll never see your feet. They lied. I saw my feet. So I did that. But this is the bad story. So the bad story is in high school, I used to skip school a lot to run around with my then boyfriend who makes me gag. And one day, because now we know that in the film business, days change. And on a particular day, I was not supposed to be working. They changed the schedule.
Uh-huh.
So my dad comes to school to look for me, only to find out that, Keisha's not in school. So I'm at a stoplight in my boyfriend's car, and I look over there, and oh my God, there's my dad sitting in the car next to me in the light looking at me going, honey, we have to go to Shelby now. So so I did that.
Oh my God.
But I didn't really like being in front of the camera, especially during my teen years, because being a teenager girl was... it wasn't fun. So it was easier for me to get behind the camera. And it was always easy for me to work there in the summers. It just kind of fell into that place. And so when I finally graduated from college and I had gotten my degree in communications and marketing and stuff like that, and I was interviewing, my mom said, wouldn't it be just easier if you just kind of hung out here while you interviewed? And I said, sure. You know, that's easy enough.
Meaning at the agency.
At the agency.
Okay.
And then it never changed.
Wow.
I just
you haven't left. You're still waiting for that first job interview after college.
I'm finally ready to get booked. Hire me, please. Instead of being an agent, but it's been good.
So you got where did you go to school? Where did you go to college?
Appalachian.
Oh, really?
Go ASU.
I don't think I knew that you went to ASU.
I love the mountains. It was hard to come back actually from that.
You got your degree in communications and marketing. What did you want to do? Or did you have any
idea? I have no idea. I really still don't have a clue as to what I want to do.
So then this was meant to be.
So it was meant to be. I just fell in. And, you know, for a long time as a young person, I'm always asking, you know, what is my purpose? Mm-hmm. You know, people would ask you, what do you want to do? What is my purpose? And finally, I think... I figured out that my purpose is to, I really like people. So I think my purpose has been always to help people. And this obviously was the, you know, I fell into this, so I'm doing that. But it makes me feel good to make my actors feel good in a business that is hard to feel good in. You know, it's just a subjective business and we have no control over it.
We have no control over it.
I try to be the best friend I can be to my people.
And actors are terrible to deal with. Aren't we the worst?
No, actually, I don't. You know, really? It's amazing.
No,
there's only really one or two.
But I mean, don't...
it's tricky.
Doesn't it kind of depend
tricky.
On the day? Like,
it sure does.
Of course we are. We're all... You know, emotional and sensitive.
It
and
is. It's emotional. It's sensitive. We care.
Mm-hmm.
We want to succeed.
Yeah.
We don't want to fail. Why we are picking this business to be in when the numbers of failure, you don't even want to look at the numbers of failure.
Right.
And failure is such a crappy word.
It is a crappy word.
And the truth is, I told somebody this the other day that so many people want to be in this business, but very few rock it. And it's hard to tell those that don't rock it that you're not rocking it.
Do you think that makes it more difficult for those that are rocking it? Do you feel like the others, I say that with all due respect, the ones that you're talking about, like, I mean, would it make the industry more streamlined?
Isn't that interesting? You know what? I think this is true, and never more now is the most time that this is true. It is sort of a survival of the fittest kind of industry now because it's so electronic. And there's so many ways that you can be better than the other person. So the others who wait until the last second to submit their auditions,
right,
or submit a really crappy audition, you know, or the quality of their audition, really, I don't believe that the actors have any idea what the competition is like. It's because you're no longer competing within the people within that agency.
Right.
And it's not the Southeast anymore.
Nope.
It is, you know, nationwide. And I think that if more actors saw the numbers, they would either get out or they'd get their act together. But like I said, not everybody can do it. So I think if it's going to be your job, it's going to be your job. It's not going to be anybody else's.
Oh, sure. And that's one of the things that Rob said, that it's a great, you know, mindset to have. It's, I think it's a difficult one.
It's a healthy mindset.
Yes. And I think he's very, very fortunate to have been able to absorb that into his body, because I can tell you, I mean, you know as well
it's
as
hard.
I do, 99% of the rest of us.
Yeah.
You can do it for a little while.
Yeah.
But I mean,
you got to take a break.
Yeah.
Well, and I got to tell you, being a wife, well, here, he is one of the reasons why I think I'm as good of an agent as I can be, is that I live it personally on a day-to-day level. Mm-hmm. And he actually lets go of things much faster than I do.
He actually said, he said, Keisha takes it a lot harder than I do when something doesn't, you know,
I do.
Get booked or whatever. Yeah.
Because, you know, it's because you care.
Right.
How
of course
do
you
care.
And
oh
you're the God. You're the one sitting there watching it happen.
I am watching
from
it
from beginning
happen.
To end. You know all the ins and outs.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not picking on you, but I mean.
No, you can pick.
No, I'm really not. In so many of the interviews that I have done, the number you and the 1,000 other people comes up in regards to auditioning. Mm-hmm. Is that pretty accurate?
Or yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So in case the regular listeners or those of you just tuning in for the first time have heard it but really not paid attention to it because you don't want to accept that it's true, it's us and 1,000 other people for every audition that comes through.
Yeah, if you are actually even being requested, you're ahead of the game. You're ahead of the majority.
Wow.
So if you are being requested to audition, you're ahead. If you are being requested to audition more than once, you're good. You're golden.
From the same casting
director
or just...
From the same casting directors, yeah. And then, you know, obviously if you get booked, you hit pay dirt.
Right.
But the numbers are... It's awful. You don't even want to know.
I'm just like... And how many actors do you have come to you? How many of the... I just woke up this morning and I thought, I'll be an actor.
You know, I think I want to do this.
Yeah.
Not as many as we used to.
Right. I mean, well, you guys are very selective, of course.
We are very selective.
You're very boutique-y.
We're very... Thank you for saying that. I didn't... I think we are now.
I think so.
When we represent people in the Southeast, and we represent, you know, probably 40 to 50 LA actors.
Yeah.
And these are actors that... only have come to us in the last few years that we realized that we could actually do this because the world has shrunk.
So you are representing actors in LA for work in the Southeast.
For work in the Southeast.
Right. So now the unfortunate part is there's really no crossover to where you are. Is JTA getting to grab anything from the West Coast?
Well, here's the deal. This is one of these disturbing things I discovered when I was in Los Angeles is that there's still very much a mindset with the LA casting directors that say, if you are in the Southeast, you're not worthy as much. Now, here's the interesting point, and this is even more disturbing, is that if, and I have a particular actress who 1 year, and I think it's been 2 years ago, she booked three recurring jobs in three different projects. And when I was talking to her husband later, and I said, surely, you know, this is helping her. This is advancing her in LA. And he said, no, they don't even consider it. It's still one of those situations where if you're booked out of the Southeast, you're just not as good. So unfortunately, I think that's a prevailing thought with LA casting directors. And it sucks.
It does
There's suck. A discrimination that yes. absolutely exists. It's not that the producers, I think there are people that are more and more mm-hmm. becoming open to it.
Right.
I mean, the truth is there is so much work coming to the Southeast.
Sure.
That there are a lot of people that are choosing producers, executive producers, even some casting directors are choosing to maybe move to the Southeast. That only throws them in the same mix.
Right.
You know, that myth that occurred 10 plus years ago of, hey, I'm going to be an actor in LA and move to the Southeast and be a big fish in a small pond mm-hmm. has never been true. That has never been true.
Right.
The people, the actors who are fortunate enough to choose to live in the Southeast because mm-hmm. this is their home, mm-hmm. they don't want to raise their children anywhere else.
Right.
There are reasons for them being here. That makes them, they're exceptional. They're exceptional actors.
Right.
So that was one of my goals, honestly, when I went out to yeah. LA was to meet some casting directors. And I did.
Yep.
And they're kind.
Yep.
You know, and they're lovely.
Right.
Nothing's happened yet. But it will.
See, and that's...
Maybe it will. I got to always stay positive. I mean, I'm going to be the Pollyanna. I'm usually the Pollyanna mm-hmm. of all agents. I remember my mother talking to... probably a producer of some sort from mm-hmm. a project, and they said, well, can you fly into Charlotte? And she said, you know, we didn't just fall off the turnip truck. I mean, really.
Right.
We right. have hospitals here, too.
We got a Walmart.
We got a couple of banks and stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
A couple of stoplights.
Oh, my gosh.
We're good. There's still some people who confuse Charlotte with Charleston. And I think, what? Do you know the states?
Yes.
Yep. I don't know.
We have professional sports teams.
This is what I found out about myself, because I have some LA actors who obviously love me mm-hmm. because I am from the South and I'm nice and I'm kind and I'm fun
right.
and I'm easy. And they say, please, please, please. I know I am easy.
Yeah, better girl.
Brian.
That's okay.
Super easy. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about being an agent out here? And I took the moment to think about that. Mm-hmm. And I thought I would have to change my whole being to be the agent to work in LA because mm-hmm. I'm not mean. I'm not snarky.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some serious snark out there.
Oh, and, sure. I'm
and
sure.
And I'm just not that kind. And so when I come back to Charlotte from LA, being here, being in the Southeast is like Hollywood light. You know, right. when you're in LA, right. you right. cannot get away from it. It doesn't matter if they say statistically only 30% of the population in LA is Hollywood affiliated. It doesn't feel like that at all. It's like every single person you come right. in contact is like that. But you come here and it's just a softer version. You sure. know, we have trees.
Right. We do have
we
trees.
We have other jobs.
Yes.
We have other, you know, yes. other things happening.
But don't you think that the opportunity is greater now because of the way things are technologically for you to be able to
yes.
perhaps be, to break that, you know, glass ceiling
yeah.
of you
I
know.
Do. And here's why I think I can say this mm-hmm. is I'm really, really tickled about what's happening in the last 2 weeks. I have booked a series regular mm-hmm. who is... from North Carolina.
Yes.
He was getting ready to go to LA, and we were very fortunate that he booked a series regular, and mm-hmm. they're hoping for 4 or 5 seasons on this
wow.
thing. This kid has
wow.
no idea. And right after that, I booked a series recurring on the same show, but he's guaranteed every episode.
Wow.
And the numbers are crazy good.
Sure.
Today, we just found out that one of our babies, she's a little baby bird, is being flown to LA tomorrow.
Wow.
To meet with executive producers mm-hmm. for a series regular on another Netflix show
right.
that is shooting in the Southeast.
Yep.
All of these are being shot in the Southeast. Mm-hmm. We have another guy today mm-hmm. booked his flight to fly into Atlanta for a series recurring regular on a new TV show in this shooting in the Southeast. Mm-hmm. So I know that there's a shift there that
yeah.
we were lucky a couple of years ago to get
right.
guest star roles,
right.
recurring roles.
Yeah.
we would have good roles from time to time, but it was not a regular occurring event. And now I think it's a regular occurring event. So
I absolutely agree.
That makes me feel
even
good.
I've noticed that in the last 5 years or 7 years, especially since I moved back from New York when really the boom from, you know,
yes,
in the
thank
Southeast
God you did.
You're the sweetest. Well, you guys were so great for working
crying,
with me while I was
Brian,
there. You guys did such a great
job.
That conversation is what made me come back. We've had that conversation because the old, for the first, 20 plus years of your agency career, it was all cop number one.
Yeah, a lot of it was like that.
Waitress. And it was a great was a great time. It was the old days.
Here's something that I'll share, and I remember this very clearly. Things started to shift dramatically when this is what I was concerned would happen.
That's
a TV show, and it's not there anymore. Claire Danes.
Homeland.
Yep. First season was shot in Charlotte.
Yep.
We just assumed that there would be auditions happening in Charlotte for the casting directors. And they said, no, it's too fast. The turnover's too fast. And there's not enough time to see people in person. And so one of the things that I realized is that we shifted immediately to electronic auditions faster than LA ever did.
Wow.
I mean, there wasn't any little bits here and here. I mean, suddenly one day we were doing it one way and the next day we were doing it the other way.
Yeah.
The other thing that this is unfortunate but true, before it turned electronic, we would cast anywhere from 5 to 10 actors on any given project.
Mm-hmm.
And when it started to shrink to 1 or 2, I was saying, what is happening? Can I say what the fuck is happening here?
Yes.
And that's when, you know, the business, it started to spread out because they were using Breakdown Express. And the settings that the casting directors could use would allow them to broadcast even farther.
Right.
And it just kind of spread the wealth.
Yeah.
Fortunately for others, a little unfortunately for me, but that's one of the things that we've been really good at is being flexible and adaptable.
Yeah. I mean, did you notice like, hey, how are we going to keep the doors open?
Hell this yeah, year? We did.
Did you go through some of that?
Yeah. We've had a couple of, some dismal years when we were thinking, what in the world is happening and how do we continue? How do we continue doing this? But it is an ebb and flow business and it's that way for each actor and it's that way for each agency. And, you know, you gotta stay up to speed with what's going on electronically and you gotta want to do it. And so we're doing it.
And now JTA Talent can also claim that they have a SAG Awards nominee on their talent roster.
We can.
I heard that there's some guy in your talent pool. Got nominated for a SAG Award.
He's cute.
I haven't really noticed, and I'm probably going to disagree. More with Keisha in just a minute. You're listening to You May Have Seen, proud member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Now, in the last episode, I tried to give some attention to all the other incredible unknown career actors out there, but there are just too many. No way I can get to all of them. So, if you're one of those hardworking, deeply passionate, talented actors or actresses out there busting their tail, doing one episode of TV at a time, or showing up in a scene or two of a well-known feature film, drop me a message. Send me a note at youmayhaveseen@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you and give you a shout-out, because believe me, I know you deserve it. So, there's a little movie out right now called Avengers Endgame. Some of you might have heard about it. Huge cast. Clearly, it's loaded with You May Have Seens, like Michael A. Cook. This guy has had great success with the Marvel movies, and you may not even be aware of it. He plays male S.H.I.E.L.D. agent in Endgame, MRI tech in Captain America Civil War, and EMT in Ant-Man. That's awesome! And then there's Haijin Zhang, who plays Japanese girl in Endgame. You may have seen her in the TV show Atlanta, Daredevil, and Blue Bloods. Way to go, Haijin! I hope I'm saying that right. Alright, here's more with Keisha.
I mean, how crazy was that, though?
That was crazy. That was really crazy. That was, it was very surprising. It was very surreal.
And I said this to Rob when we sat and we talked about it.
Did you guys talk about that?
That was unheard of. That's an unheard of possibility.
Yeah, no, it really is.
In this market.
It really is. And it is. And the fact that, and the casting directors for Ozark,
yeah,
you know, they've been nominated before.
Right.
I can't think of the other Stranger Things.
Yeah, Stranger Things. They won Stranger Things.
Yeah, they won.
The Fincannons won a few years ago from the Earth to the Moon. And
yeah. So that's part of the whole process,
right.
and it is pretty cuckoo. And now once you do it one time, you want to do it again.
Oh yeah,
you want to be a part.
Of course. Now, how often does an actor get booked on something and think, "Oh, this is going to change everything"?
Every time.
Every time. And how often are they right?
Because I mean, that's kind of hard to answer.
Well, what's the reality of that situation? Like, you know, an actor books a job, it's a job.
You just don't know. That's some of the crazy stuff that I see. That you get into a project, and each project is different. Mm-hmm. Each project we navigate differently, and you can't teach anybody this.
Yes.
You just kind of fall into the groove.
Right.
But you never know how it's going to end once it starts.
Right.
And I'll use the example of my young guy who's been booked as a series regular. Never did we imagine that we were now going to look into having him be an escort and having him be a loan-out company.
Right.
Because of the amount of money that is coming his way.
Yeah.
And the poor guy was really quiet on the phone. And I said, "Are you happy? Are you celebrating?"
Yes, I'm pooping my pants.
Yes. Oh, yeah, but I'm doing it really quietly. So that's when it's really, really fun. That's
sure.
when it's really fun
right.
to watch something evolve into something so
yes.
much better and greater. And sometimes you have an inkling that that's going to happen
yeah.
depending on who the casting director is.
Right.
And sometimes you don't depending on the casting director, because there are casting directors out there that choose to hold a lot of information.
Okay.
And, you know, it blows.
Is it a power thing, or is that just
it's a power thing, yeah. I think. And, you know, the reality is that casting directors are hired by the producer. So
okay.
they're
sure.
working
right.
for the producer.
Right.
But there are casting directors who have been, that I have literally grown up with in the 30 years.
Sure.
Who are based here, who have the relationships with the LA casting directors. Many of them are very good friends.
Mm-hmm.
They choose to work with each other. Many of them, they have relationships with the executive producers. And even though they come to the Southeast because they want to save some money, or there is the tax incentive that's in place, a lot of these casting directors have a voice, and they do say, "Look, I can help you with this, but you can do better if we broaden the search just a little bit."
Yeah.
Because let's face it, mileage in hotel is not that much.
Right.
We know they get these scripts in their hands months before this stuff happens, and they hold this information. And unfortunately, it shows up when you have an actor on set and they call and say, "What? I mean, I am, you know, I might as well be a guest star here. What is happening? And I'm only a co-star." That
right.
stuff is right. maddening.
Right. Because I know that I've been booked on things as a co-star when I'm like, "This is a guest starring role."
Exactly. And you don't even get the script until, you know, a day or two before you show up.
Oh, or it, honestly.
Or when you're there.
On certain shows, which I'm not going to say.
I know.
It was when I got there and I'm like,
what?
I'm only here for a couple of days, but I am in half of the show.
I know.
So there's that. I know. So good. It's good to know that happens. But I mean, even from the other side of it, how many actors do you, you know, think that you book the one job as lawyer, man on street, whatever, and think, okay, here we go. Now the train's going to go. Why isn't my phone ringing off the hook now?
Well,
do you ever run into that? Do you get
sure,
that?
Sure we do. Oh my God. You think, there was a guy that I booked in a horror film actually last year. And he was one of the top four kids in this horror film.
Okay.
And we just knew, oh my God, this was going to explode his career. Now, and he's an LA guy.
Yeah.
And he's from here, though. He was, you know, simple and humble, but LA guy. And It might have hurt him that the movie was a dud. I'm not sure. But after being with certain people and connecting and making connections, because let's face it, a lot of it has to do with the connections that you make on the set.
Right.
And right. You imagine that, you know, it's going to go farther than that. And then it's like nothing happens, you know. And then you hear Jason Bateman say in his acceptance speech, you know, sometimes you're just one gig away.
Right.
From the deal.
I really was so, it was very refreshing actually to hear him say that, because, you know,
I agree.
You work with us all the time. It's really easy to get into a dark place or just a very frustrated place, and you can get stuck there for a long time.
You can.
And I have.
It's an icky feeling.
Yeah,
it's an icky place to be.
Here's somebody on that level. And I've heard it a couple times. Yeah. I mean, there was a guy.
Yeah, because who was he anyway? I mean, he was there. What? I mean, I grew up with his sister.
Oh, sure.
What's her name?
Justine.
You know that girl.
Yes.
And I knew about Jason.
He's actually had a much better career than she has.
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
But as a kid.
And
yeah,
longevity
I mean,
wise.
He just sort of showed up, and then suddenly it was with what's the
Arrested
show that
Development
Arrested
was
Development?
The big, sure.
Yeah,
put him where he is now for
I don't represent Jason, by the way.
But I'm sure you're working really hard to try and.
Uh-huh. I talk to him regularly,
and she's not joking.
Hey,
now,
Laura.
So talk to me about that. So you've had an opportunity over the years to spend a lot of time with Rob on set. I know that you go with him on some of the shoots, and have you learned anything from that side of it, just by being on set?
Not even. Yes.
Go.
Well,
you know what a grip is. You know where the lights go.
I know all of that. I know. I know those people that carry around those big old cords.
Yeah.
I think the best advice for a lot of actors is find out what everybody else does. The more information you know about what all of the other players behind the camera, mm-hmm. what their job is.
Right.
The better off you're going to show up being in front of the camera. And that's one of the things that Rob has been really good at. He knows what's supposed to happen, mm-hmm. and how it's going to happen, and who's going to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And so just having that information through him has helped me kind of navigate on the set. I'm still a human being, so I'm still kind of like, oh.
Do you get a little?
Yeah.
A little starry-eyed?
One of my fun stories was when Carrie was a baby.
Yeah.
And I'm probably disappointing Rob in not remembering what the project was, but it was down in Wilmington or some at Orton Plantation. I know I showed up. And Carrie was a baby, and Annie Potts was in the makeup trailer when Rob was getting his makeup done. Mm-hmm. And the next thing I know, she said, "Give me that baby." And she grabbed my baby. And I just stood there like this was the most normal thing, mm-hmm. that Annie Potts was holding my baby. A lot of people probably don't even remember her now. But
Annie Potts from Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters, what do you want?
Oh, my God. You're right.
Yeah. And Designing Women?
Yes, Designing Women.
Yeah, but Ghostbusters, I think, was probably the first time I saw
God.
It.
She was so great.
Yeah.
She was great.
Yes.
And then I have a terrible story.
Okay.
It's only happened one time, and it was very recent.
Yep.
And this is, and it
Jason
makes
Bateman
me...
grabbed your son.
No, we were at the big hoo-ha party before. Oh, okay. The SAG, the night before, and it was the Netflix dude who has, he and his wife throw this party for all of the Netflix actors. And it is quite an event. And so I, of course, am just, you know, reminding myself that we're all just human beings. Mm-hmm. We all, you know how to put our underwear on and go to the bathroom. It's all like that. But I had already decided that if I saw Jane Fonda, holy hell, was I going to touch her?
Wow.
And I was going to say, lady, I am striving to be like you when I'm your age.
Okay, what's funny is that you came this close to doing Jerry Lewis right there.
Did
lady.
I really? Lady? Oh, my God.
I can see you geeking out like that. Go ahead.
Okay, but I didn't have that geek out, unfortunately. Okay. So the other geek out, the worst geek out was this. So Rob and I are coming back from... the restrooms, and we go to a bar, and there's Michael Douglas. And Michael just extends his hand to Rob, and he's like, hey, I'm Michael Douglas. I know you were on Ozark. What's the deal with the sheriff and blah, blah, blah? And I'm, you know, he's acting like, okay. And I'm going, yeah. And he goes, and this is my wife, Catherine Zeta-Jones. And, you know, she's lovely. She's a lovely person. Okay. And she reaches out to shake my hand, and I say, I'm just so glad I can touch you. So that's the only time I've really been a ding dong.
That is too.
But I still smile. And my sister reminded me that you might need to edit this out. She has little hands.
Did we cover what you've learned? I mean, how being on set, has that helped you as an agent? Because you're a very outgoing person. You're great with people. You like talking to people. Everybody enjoys talking to you. Yeah. And I didn't know if you've picked up nuggets and stuff along the way of just being there and soaking it all in even.
Yeah, but one of the greatest lessons I received was there was a Coca-Cola commercial being cast in Charlotte. This has been a number of years ago. It was when I was still sporting my silver hair. And Mitzi Corrigan called me and said, Keisha, they have created a spot, and I think you would be perfect for this. This is a SAG commercial.
Sure.
Don't even need to audition. Let me just show them your photo. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay.
Right.
So she calls me back. She goes, you've been cast. Oh, my God. So I remember that morning getting up and wanting to vomit. I was nervous. Mm-hmm. Couldn't figure out what kind of clothes I needed to bring.
Oh, my God.
What did my hair need to look like?
Sure.
Where did I need to go? Mm-hmm. Once I parked, which door do I go to? Whole time being completely self-conscious. Did not have propranolol in my life at that time. That's a beta blocker, by the way, and that works. So I show up, and I do know a lot of the faces, a lot of the crew, a lot of the makeup, and they're very kind to me.
Right.
And they take me and into the room, and they don't give me much information. And all I am supposed to be is some woman in a beauty salon having my hair done.
Y'all.
Okay. So one of the things that I've always said to my actors is that, you know, if you don't understand something, or if something's not being presented to you on the set, don't be afraid to ask.
Right.
What did Keisha do? She kept her mouth shut. She never asked anything. She didn't know anything. So suddenly the commercial's being done.
Right.
I didn't say, do I need to look this way? Do I need to, what do you need from me? None of that happens. Nothing's going on. The day is done.
Yep.
I think, great. Mm-hmm. I booked a SAG commercial. Ching, 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 ching.
Yeah.
I think about 3 weeks later, I got a lovely letter that said, you have been removed from this commercial. You're only going to receive a session. And what was so great about that whole experience is that I got to experience it from the beginning to the final dreadful end.
Sure.
That I really got to live through that. And so from that experience, I've been able to walk the walk with my actors and say, you know, anything can happen. Don't take it personally.
Right.
Ask questions.
Right.
Be prepared. So that did it more for me than anything else.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do enjoy going on the set. I do. Mm-hmm. I do like to see how things work.
Right.
And it is amazing how long it takes for certain scenes to take place.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's not what people think.
What's the biggest misconceptions for actors, do you think?
Oh, my God. What is a misconception? What is
this
that?
This interview is a misconception. No.
That's so hard. I mean, in a way it's easy because I've heard it from people who, you know, decide one day they want to be an actor and they watch TV and they think, oh, I can be that person. You know what? What happens a lot more often is that I get people who call me and they say, everybody tells me I have the greatest voice.
Oh, yeah.
That I should go into voice business. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's down like this and it's, you know, twangy.
Right.
And they have no idea. And I have to say, well, you need to be able to interpret copy. two.
Right.
So it's not as easy as you think it's going to be. And maybe that's it. Maybe it's people just think, oh, they can just, they're suddenly themselves.
Right.
On camera.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's not really it. There's a lot more. There's a lot more than that.
Yeah. I mean, as you can imagine, I've had a lot of people have that conversation with me of like, a lot of people say that I have a great voice.
I have a great voice.
And it's like, you know who else has a great voice? Almost every other person on the planet. Most people have very nice, pleasant speaking voices.
Everybody has a voice.
There's not a lot of people walking around going, yeah, we're not all Gollum from the Lord of the Rings.
Why can't I be in business? I know.
You're so unique. You can speak articulately. That's fantastic.
It's true.
You're qualified to work the drive-thru at Burger King.
You can.
What's the biggest misconception that actors have about you as an agent?
Mm. Have you asked other people?
No.
What you're they the think only... about me? No. No. What's the greatest misconception? Gosh, that's a hard question. Do you have... any idea?
I don't. I mean, do they think that you're capable of having more influence over things? Or
well, I think I can use Rob as an example.
Okay.
Because when we got married, mm-hmm. almost immediately, I had actors who just assumed that all I did was make a phone call and book Rob.
Mm-hmm.
And God almighty, if that were the case, you know, hell yeah, we'd be living at large.
And you'd be on the phone all the time.
I'd be on the phone every day, all day long. That is not the case. I think people think that I have some sort of pull, but then mm-hmm. I turn around and I kind of think that some of the casting directors have
right.
a pull.
Yeah.
And sometimes we do,
yeah.
and sometimes we don't. Mm-hmm. And the sometimes that we do usually is... because of our history and because we've been in the business since 1963,
damn.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
We have clients who only call us. They don't feel like going through casting directors. They
right.
don't feel like doing that.
Right.
They call us
yep.
and then they say, this is what we need. How can you help us?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my knowledge of my actors comes into
right.
place. And that's why it's really important to have those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, because we're so electronic now, I don't necessarily get to meet all of my people face to face when I first meet them.
Yep.
So we absolutely have a phone conversation because the energy, and let me just interject this now because this is important. The magic occurred between actors and casting directors and producers and directors. It happens in that room.
Yeah.
And the Southeast lost that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's an energetic exchange that is so, to me, vital. I really still sometimes find it hard to believe that we are doing our business the way we're doing our business
right.
without people meeting these people.
Right.
So the energy is a really important exchange. What was the question?
Biggest misconception that actors have about you as an agent. So
I think they're usually surprised that I'm going to be as available.
A couple things actually out of that and what you just said. One, I mean, how many conversations with actors have you had where it's been, well, it's your job as the agent too.
Well, yeah, that we're supposed to do everything for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That we... you know, when we made the shift between the electronic and in-person auditions, we had a fair amount of actors that were angry about us not being able to put them on tape. Or initially, early on, we charged a very small fee
sure.
because I was the one doing it.
Right.
And it was actually taking me away from my job
yeah.
as the agent. But it's really... It's a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a relationship and we work for the actor. And what we do is we hopefully open the doors for these actors. But, you know, unless you've got to do the work. You got to do the work.
Right.
You've got to hone your skills. You've got to get training. You know, you got to have good photographs. Now you just have to have a really decent profile. It's amazing to me that you can go on these profiles and you can find 10-year-old photographs. And these actors are still going, right. What? I still look like that? There's only one, I know. It's a real, that part is frustrating. Yes. I don't think they realize. And when it's electronic, we're looking at these tiny little icons. Mm-hmm. And so there's only so much I can do. And now I'm getting to an age where I am using my voice more often. Mm-hmm. I am polite.
Yes.
But I have fired 3 people this year. And I have never done that before.
Well, obviously it needed to be done.
And it needed to be done.
Anytime over the years that I've talked to actors about, you know, agents and actors and the relationship between them, and I've said a lot of the same things of like, you're responsible for this. I was like, that's why they get a percentage of your paycheck and you get the majority of it.
Yes.
You should be doing the majority of the work.
It's a business. It is.
Yes.
And true.
Yes. The other thing that I was going to ask you off of what you were answering previously was, because it has gone so electronic, do you feel like the actor, to some degree, has lost power? I'm using air quotes. And why, you know, we've gone through that phase of, well, now we're making offers to everybody down through the... And it's become... And it's because at the click of a button, they're like, well, if you don't want to do it for this rate, the guy that we... The next guy that we click on will...
Unfortunately, I think that's true.
Yeah.
I do think that's true. Rob actually used this... I don't know if he talked to you about this at all, but he did use the... discrimination, the actor pay discrimination, you know, that the SAG actors, not even, he used the word SAG actors mm-hmm. in the Southeast getting paid less than the SAG actors in LA.
Sure.
But let's just get real here. I mean, we've got some, it doesn't matter if you're a union actor or not living in the Southeast.
Right.
We've got some serious quality actors here.
Yes.
That have lost a little bit of power by it all going virtual, because what happened before in the olden days mm-hmm. when you drove to an audition and then you were lucky enough and you got a callback and you drove for the callback and you got into the room
yep.
and the producer and the director were there and they might have had an idea of what they thought they wanted, but suddenly struck up a great conversation with whoever the actor is and they see, oh my God, you work for this person and this person, and this person. And the next thing you know, that person has gotten that job.
Yep.
Only because the nice conversation that took place between them.
Yes.
And that is not happening mm-mm. now. And I do think there, and actually you, ugh, makes me feel icky to think that, but I do think that there may be a little bit of that, well, if you're not going to do it, somebody mm-hmm. else is. But see, that's the fear. Mm-hmm. And that's what everybody relies on.
Yes.
And that's the reason why it's hard for an actor to say, I don't want to do it for that amount of money.
Right.
Or, you know what? I've been working for a year. If I say no, I don't want to die.
Right.
Because The Walking Dead does kill off actors when they are a problem. and that's one of the things that, as a person, for me, I choose daily. I choose moment to moment mm-hmm. to not walk in fear. You know, and this is going to be the spiritual part of me sure. that says that this business, this industry is not my source. This casting director is not my source. Mm-hmm. Ozark is not my source. Mm-hmm. These are avenues by which source fills me mm-hmm. and helps me pay my paychecks, mm-hmm. you know, pays my mortgage.
Right.
But Sam's is not my source. And so that's what I try to encourage my actors is just don't be afraid. Don't
right.
be afraid.
Right.
Go with the flow.
Right.
Don't push, pull, or force. Mm-hmm. If it's not easy, if suddenly, you know, trying to make something happen, you're forcing it, it's not meant to happen anyway.
Right.
So leave it alone. But see, I'm still going to fall back on the positive.
Yes.
It's like I've got to trust the process.
Yes.
And I trust the process for myself mm-hmm. and I trust the process for my actors. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's going to get it and
right.
that's okay. Some people want a Mercedes. Some right. people want a rental car. I'm trying to figure
Thank
out what
so
I
much.
Want right now.
Thank you so much for using that. That was good. I like that. That callback was good. Well, look, you have been my agent for 26 years now.
Really? Seriously?
Yes. Yeah, for 26 years.
Really?
You've been my agent. Yes.
How long have we been friends?
So, 25 and a half. When did you get here? No.
It did. It took a little
while.
When
I brought you a check?
It took a little while for you and I to warm up. I mean, I'm sure it does with most people. We just didn't know each other. I mean, I came in because of Judy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Judy was the one that brought me in because we did the plays together.
Yeah.
Which is how I met Lon and all that stuff. And so that's how, you know, yeah. So you didn't know me. I didn't know you. And I told you this a while ago that I was like, for the first year, you scared the crap out of me.
Oh. Yeah. But now you have a crush on me.
Totally.
Well, I do too, actually.
There you go. Yes,
so we've been in partnership for a very long time.
For more than half my life, and
that says a lot.
I think it's been a pretty good partnership.
Hell yeah, man! Because I believe in you.
Well,
I've always believed in you,
and I trust and believe in you. And I just want to take this moment to say thank you for everything.
Brian, thank you.
You know,
I trust
and
you.
I look forward to.
The trust bigger, is a big thing.
It's a huge thing.
It is. It's a big thing.
I want to thank you for coming in and sitting down and talking with me, doing this episode of the podcast.
Are you sure we're done?
Isn't
there anything else I should say?
Oh, my God. There's a ton of things. We could sit here and talk for hours, but let's leave them wanting more. Let's leave them
All
wanting
right.
more. I think this Part has actually two. Been a really great educational experience and episode for a lot of the actors that are out there. And hopefully you guys can take some information and tips from this. This has been You May Have Seen with Keisha Trevelyan. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian.
Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And if you'd like to leave a comment or review, that's always nice. You can also email us at youmayhaveseen@gmail.com if you have a comment or a question, and we'll give you a shout-out in the next episode.